going to open with prayer.
Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. Lord, we thank you for your grace, because it's only because of your grace and your mercy that we are here today, Lord God. Many did not see this day as we hear about all of the destruction and all of the strife and all, oh Lord, of the tragedies that happen on this earth, Lord God. We thank you that we are here today, Lord God. Oh Lord, we just ask that you would bless us, that you would keep us, Lord, that we would take in your word today, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, for the freedom to worship and to take in your word, Lord God, in peace, Lord God. Father, I pray that we would take advantage of your daily bread, that we would take advantage of the bread that you offer to us, Lord God. Father, that we would not take it for granted, that we would not leave your table unattended to, Lord God. So Lord, bless us today. Keep us by your power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 So we're going to go into our lesson. Again, we're continuing into the last segment of the Bread of Life lesson from our book, Living and Praying in Jesus' Name. And today we're going to be on hallowing this name. This is one of my favorite parts of the segment, and it talks about holding sacred. We've learned all these things. We've talked about the theme of the Bread of Life, which is nourishment. We've talked about knowing this name. We've talked about living this name. We've talked about praying this name. But this piece about hallowing this name is just so important, because this is where it counts. This is where we hold on to what we have learned through the weeks. So we're really happy with this segment and pleased with this segment. And I just really want you to press in, because I told you this whole lesson has to do with a very serious matter. It has to do with the nourishment of the church, or the nourishment of the people of God. And ladies, you need a handout. Let's see if you can get your handout. And Rita, I brought some extras, but I don't see them up there, so I hate to bother you. We'll need to get them a few lessons. That's the original. Thank you. So, okay, Rita, would you make like 3 or 4? Okay, maybe 5. Okay. So again, we're on hallowing this name. The lesson is the Bread of Life. And our key scripture for this segment, as you'll see in your handout, is said, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And that's John 6, 32 through 34. So your first part of your lesson says, as we learn to hallow and hold sacred his name, the Bread of Life, we must make a distinction between the physical or temporal bread and the spiritual or eternal bread. And that's what we're going to be really hitting the heart of that today. Through Moses came temporal bread that fed the physical bodies of the people for a time. But through Christ came the eternal bread that fed and continues to feed the eternal souls and spirits of humankind. This is an important distinction, because we live in a world where people constantly seek after the temporal bread, that which satisfied the physical only for a time and then is gone, you know. And often we fail to hold sacred or to seek first the eternal bread. And we start in life this way. This is the way we grew up. I mean, the first words out of your mouth as an infant was crying for the physical nourishment. So we grew up that way. We were born that way, of seeking after that which was physical. But as we get older, and as we come to understand the way of this world and the way of our own lives, we understand the relevance and the significance of the spiritual bread. And this is something that we have to work for mentally. Even after we accept Christ, we have to work for that longing or that discipline of taking in the spiritual bread. We'll work all week long and will not attend church once. Many people work all week long. We will make every effort. We will get up. We will shower. We will get ourselves dressed. And we will make sure that we get to work on time. but we won't make an effort to come out to the house of God to take in that physical, that spiritual bread. Now, I know you can pray at home. I understand. You can pray at home. You can read the word of God at home. But there is something that is to be said when you make an effort to come out to the house of God. It speaks of something. As we talked about in previous lessons, what if we called ourselves a nation, but we never, ever supported the government of the nation? What if we never had a White House? We didn't have capitals. We didn't have anything. We didn't have a legislative branch. We didn't even bother to structure our government and to support the government that kind of keeps our nation going, but yet we call ourselves a nation. What would happen? We would just fall apart. We would, our enemies would come in and just ravage us and take over. So what about the nation, the holy nation of Jesus Christ? You know, where is it established? Where is it housed? You know, so when we talk about this thing, when it comes to the house of God, the place where we come in to take our daily bread, this is a serious matter. And we each have to examine ourselves and see, how seriously do we really take it? Do we make any effort for it? Or is it just like, well, you know, I'll pray later. Oh, I'll pray. I'll pray as I'm driving to work. I'll pray. You know, it's like this daily bread piece is so important, because I am convinced that is why the Church of Jesus Christ may be the way it is because it's not strong as it can be and should be, because we're not eating. We're not taking in the spiritual bread. You know how you feel after you haven't eaten just for several hours. Well, that's the way, imagine how your spirit is right now. Imagine how your spirit is doing as you're not taking in his daily bread, as we won't make an effort to leave the comforts of our home to obtain the spiritual fruit, to obtain the spiritual food that we need. We show up on Christmas, we show up on Easter, but we don't really make it a regular diet of taking in his spiritual food. And we have to see how we're going to work through that and how we're going to examine ourselves. I can't examine you and you can't examine me. You have to examine yourself before the Lord God and ask yourself, how important is he to you? You know, is this just something you do? I mean, many, many people call themselves Christians. Many people do. You know, but are we taking in the food that Christians eat? Or are we just like everybody else? And that's something that you have to look at your life, look at your behavior, and see, where are you putting your effort and where do you not put your effort? Are we children that do not honor our Father? He takes care of us and continues taking care of us every day, but do we honor him? You know, can you imagine having a family member? I mean, most of you see your family all the time. How many times this week did you visit your family or you saw your family? Well, God is family. And how many times do we take the time to visit him or to spend time with him? So again, it's something that we have to, again, this daily bread thing is so important. It's so important that we look at it seriously and that we really examine ourselves and see if we are even coming at his table or are we passing it by every day.
I'm sorry. Then, the copies I just made, your originals will go only up to 196.
Oh, 196. Okay, so we don't even have that segment. Oh, folks, I am sorry. I am sorry. So the part with hallowing that name is not in there. Does anybody have that handout, that part of their handout? Can you make a copy of her segment?
Okay, just
of hallowing this name. Yeah. Sorry, telling you, sometimes I'm in such a hurry putting my stuff together that I miss some things. I don't know if I have it here. So as we continue into the next segment, it says the temporal bread is necessary to sustain physical life, but the eternal bread is necessary for eternal life. Therefore, if you spend your entire life seeking to satisfy the physical, when the physical eventually dies, you will have nothing to sustain you into the eternal. The eternal bread must be taken in now, so you are prepared to transition into the eternal life when your physical life ends. Do you understand? The clock's ticking. We can't stop the clock from ticking. Every time I see a new gray hair on my head, I know the clock is ticking, you know, and I think God does that on purpose. He builds in this eternal clock called aging so that we know that the clock is ticking. And one day you are going to transition from the physical into the eternal, from the temporal into the eternal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to meet Jesus Christ and he's a stranger to me. That I accepted him, but I never learned of him. You know, it was sort of like, okay, so there's Jesus. Wow, it's wonderful to be in his presence, but you don't really know him. You never had that intimacy with him, that dialogue which he offers to you every day. That's what the bread is about. You know, getting to know him and getting to know him. He said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, this bread is for you. You know, Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And this bread is for you. It is not because Jesus needs to give you the bread for some reason. He does it because you need it. He does it because he knows that our souls are weary sometimes. He knows that our souls are burdened. He knows that our souls are wounded sometimes. And so he offers this healing bread, this peaceful bread, this strengthening bread that makes every difference in us, you know? And until you come and you've really dined at that table, you don't know. It's a shame that you've accepted him and you're still struggling and muddling through life and muddling through your day because you won't take the time to come and take in his daily bread. It makes all the difference in your day. It keeps you from flying off the handle. It keeps you from becoming frustrated. It keeps you from interacting with people inappropriately, you know. But when you take in that daily bread, there's just a peace that comes over you. He will bring it back to your remembrance, and it's amazing. I'm amazed at how relevant the Bible is in everyday life, you know. I mean, just the things that it talks about in everyday life, every single topic that can come up, every single situation that can come up concerning humanity is in that daily bread. And I'm telling you, when you do it his way, it's always good and it's always appropriate and it always edifies everybody. You know, it's not always just about you. Because when you fly off the handle, when you do all these things that you do often, you're selfish and you're not thinking about the bigger picture. You're just thinking about you. But when you get into the daily bread, see, Jesus is thinking about everybody. He'll take care of you, but he takes care of the people around you. Because remember, you are his child. You are a child of the Most High God. You're an agent. Some people that you're around, they need the daily bread. The crumbs that are falling off you from the daily bread that you took in, they need those crumbs. You know, but if you haven't taken anything, you have no crumbs to drop. You know, you're just dropping attitudes and dropping this and dropping that. But don't you want to drop the crumbs of Jesus to a hurting world? I'm telling you, you don't have to stand out at a street corner and pass out tracts. I'm not knocking that, but I'm just saying, you don't even need to do that to find the lost and the dying. They're all around us every day. You know, as I said, they're at Walmart. They're at Safeway. They're at your job. They're, you know, they're everywhere you go, you know. And if you have that bread in you, then you got something to minister into people. I'm surprised that some of the meetings I do, it comes up in meetings. The need for the daily bread comes up in meetings. It comes in, you know, I'm just one-on-one with somebody and the daily bread will come up. You know, I'm not necessarily quoting a scripture, but it's what that book says, the way we should do it. And it makes all the difference. So again, guys, again, this is serious. This is serious. As the time grows short and closer, you know, we need to be about the Father's business, but you cannot be about his business if you're not fed, if you're not coming to his table. You know, as I said, you will be loyal to whoever's feeding you. That's just the way it is. That's just human nature. That's just animal nature, period. You know, a dog's going to be faithful to whoever's feeding him. But we are the same way. Wherever we're getting our food, that's what we're going to be faithful to. That's what we're going to do, is wherever we're feeding. So if we're feeding at his table, that's where we're going to be loyal to him. So again, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find peace. You don't have to go through life the way you go through, but you can go through with peace in your heart no matter what happens. Things are going to come. Things are going to go. You're going to lose things. You're going to lose people. All kinds of things are going to happen. But Jesus is a constant that is ever there and ever present. You know, and don't ever think, you know, because this is a lie the enemy used to get me with all the time, is that if I made a mistake, then I can't come to his table. You know, I might as well just, you know, I've got to do penance. I've got to stay away and beat myself up a little bit, you know, before I can come to his table. But I'm going to tell you, that's a lie. The time he wants you more than any other time is when you've just messed up. He wants you right there at his table. He's like, come on, come on, come on. I know you're all muddy and dirty. Come on, come on. Come sit at the table. Come on, let me talk to you. Remember what he said? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, I will make them as wool. So don't let the enemy get in your head. He loves to do that. Like, oh, you know, you call yourself a Christian, but look at what you just did. Oh, cast that lie away. You come crawling to your Father's feet. I'm here, Lord. I messed up, but I'm here. And he'll sit down and he will minister to you immediately. The next part of your lesson says, note the people's response to Christ's words. And this is from John 6, 32 and 34, when it says, they said to him, sir, give me this bread always. Always denotes a continual or eternal feeding. Life requires continual feeding to remain and grow. When the feeding stops, the cessation of life will soon follow. That should say soon follow. Therefore, we hold sacred and strive for a continuous diet on the eternal bread over the temporal bread, the eternal life over the temporal life. You know, never get to a place where you feel comfortable because you've been a Christian all these years, and after all, you've taught Sunday school, and you've done this, and you've done that, so I don't need to feast at his table like I used to. Folks, don't fall into that trap. I'm telling you, I've seen many fall into that trap, you know, because you got a position, and you got a station in the church that you think that you don't need the daily bread. You need it more than anybody else, I'm telling you. You know, I'm talking to leaders. I mean, you need it more than anybody else because the enemy is coming after you. I've said it over and over you, over again, that Satan bowls. He goes for that front center pin, and he knows if I knock down that front center pin, all the other pins will come falling down. So whatever you're leading, you could be leading a home. Thank you so much, Rita. You could be leading your home, you know. You could be leading different things. But you need that bread more than anybody else. We talked last week about how the presidents of the United States, when they're sworn in, they are asked to put their hand on a Bible. They are actually putting their hand on the daily bread. And this is something that has gone back from the beginning. We talked about George Washington when he was sworn in. After he was sworn in, he actually kissed the Bible. There was another president that actually, after he was sworn in, he actually prayed. You know, because you're putting your hand on the daily bread, because if the leadership is not following that word, then they are apt to be abusive. They're apt to be cruel to the people because that's just human nature. You know, without Christ, man, we are just a mess. I'm telling you, without Christ, we are greedy, we are selfish, we are cruel, because that's just the nature of sin. Sin does not love. Sin hates. You know, so that's why that even with our national leaders on a secular level, you know, this nation puts our leadership's hand on the Bible as they're sworn into office. that you're going to follow this daily bread, that you're going to be reading this as you lead this people, as you lead this nation. So we want to be sure that no matter where we are, no matter how well we've done, continue the feeding. We want this, give us this bread always, they said. And that should be your prayer. Lord, give us this bread always, Lord God. When I wake up in the morning, I need that bread again and again and again. Next week, Lord, I'm going to need the bread. Lord, I got a big meeting coming up. I need the bread. Don't ever think, well, I got this. You know, as I said, don't lean on your skill set. Don't lean on your degree and your experience. Please, that is a mistake. Lean on the daily bread. And not that God won't work through your experience and your skill set, but boy, you let the Holy Spirit come in there, and boy, you'll blow everybody at that meeting away. And they were like, wow, I never saw it that way. Boy, that is amazing wisdom. And you'll know it came from the daily bread. Jesus and Moses both fed the people with temporal bread, but then Jesus taught the people the way to obtain the eternal bread, the higher life source. So will you say like the people, give us this bread always? The next point on your lesson says, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And that's from John 6:35. Once again, Jesus comments on the bread of life using the terms not and never. Never in particular denotes the eternal. Jesus said, you'll never thirst. You'll never hunger. Because he's talking about this is going to last throughout your lifetime and even into eternity. Folks, I mean, we don't really know what heaven is going to be like, but I know when I get there, I want to know him. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to be nudging somebody. Is that Jesus? You know, I want to know him because my spirit wants to, I want to be connecting with him like, oh, nobody has to tell me that's Jesus because I know my Jesus. We've had some conversations before and I know that that's him because my spirit leaps within me as he comes near, as he is there. Folks, you want to get to know him, and I'm telling you, you will not regret it. I'm telling you. People told me this years ago, and I'm like, okay, yeah, that seems like a wonderful, nice, peaceful place, you know. You know, we talk, oh, we just want to be in that place of peace. Mm, it's not even about that. It's so beyond that. It is like you are walking this earth, actually holding the hand of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? You're walking with him. You never walk into a meeting by yourself. You never walk into any family situation by yourself. But you're walking with him. He's right there with you all the time. You know, I keep seeing that this the woman with the issue of blood having that need, you know, and I just see her crawling around all those feet, you know. She couldn't stand up. She was so sick, she couldn't even stand up. But she's crawling around all these dusty, smelly feet just trying to get to Jesus, you know. And sometimes that's the way it is sometimes. But man, as soon as she touched him, he felt it. You know, there's a touching. So some, you know, sometimes we pray, we says, now I lay me down to sleep, or, oh Lord, bless the food, you know. But there is a point where you pray and you feel you touched him. You know, you touched him. You feel it. I mean, it's like, oh my, he heard me. And sometimes he'll let you know he heard you because something will happen later on in the day that only you and him talked about, and he will bring it up through somebody, through something. And you're like, oh my goodness, I was just thinking about that today. That is God. Okay, sometimes we just blow it off. Oh, that was a coincidence. There are no coincidences. I'm going to tell you, there are no coincidences on planet Earth. Nothing's random. Everything is for a reason. You have to pay attention. Like, oh God. There you are. You heard me. You know, and there's something in your spirit that's going to leap when you come close to him, when you draw near to him and you know that he has heard you, just like that woman when she touched him and he turned around and he said, who touched me? Because he felt something go out of him. And that's the way it is for us. He knows when you're serious about that prayer. He knows when you've taken some bread off of his table. When you're, you know, it doesn't go unnoticed. He knows when you snatched that roll, you know, and took that bread. He knows. And he sees it and he will bless it and he will move in your life, you know, and then you start to develop this relationship. Folks, I'm telling you, this is a real thing. This is not something mystical that people just make up to make themselves feel good. And you know, it's a crutch and all of that. It is something very real. Relationship with Jesus Christ is very, very real. So he keeps talking, Jesus is talking about, he's commenting on never thirst. He denotes the eternal. So we are saying that we will all grow old and we will all die unless he returns. And, you know, it's an inevitable fact. You know, nobody gets away from that. So we want to prepare now. We want to prepare just like we were prepared. If we were going to Paris, we would be preparing to go to Paris, man. We would learn, be learning how to speak French. We would be packing our bags. We would buy some new clothes. We would be preparing for France. You know, even after we bought our ticket, man, we are just preparing. What about heaven? What about the eternal? You're not staying here. You're just holding up here for a while. You are not staying here. It's like you're setting up in the train station. Don't set up in the train station. You're not staying in the train station. You're not staying in the airport. Why are you buying a house in the airport? And I mean that figuratively, okay? I know you need a place to live, but I'm just saying, are you thinking about the fact that you are not staying here? Because you got to get that mindset in your mind that I am not staying here. Am I preparing for the eternal? Or am I stuck here? Paying attention to the airport, decorating the airport. And because that's what we do. Our whole mindset is based on here and now and here and now. And we don't even take the time. I know you're here and now and you need a place to live here and now. And you need to, you know, so like in the airport, you know, they put some chairs there because they know you might be there a while. So, yeah, you can sit down. They have a snack bar and a food court. You can go and buy some food because you might need some food while you're waiting and all of that. But there are certain things that, but you are waiting for that plane to come in. You're waiting for the train to come in. And I'm preparing. You know, I've got my suitcase ready and I'm ready to go. But are you preparing for the eternal, people? Are you? Again, I can't answer that question for you. You've got to answer it yourself. Jesus, am I even prepared? I mean, am I going to be one of these people that are like, oh my God, yes, yes, you made it in. The Bible says you'll make it in. The Bible says, but what about your works? And what about your, will you know him? Will you know his word? I heard Joyce Meyer was talking about one time that she's going to be teaching classes in heaven, which I thought was kind of interesting. But she said, I believe I'm just going to be teaching classes in heaven because people need to understand about God and the things of God. Like, interesting, you know. But I want to know as much as I can know about him on this side of heaven. So when I meet him, oh boy, when I meet him, it's going to be so beautiful and so wonderful. The next point on your lesson says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And that's from Colossians 3:4. It says, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. As we take in Christ the bread of life, it links us to him for that great day when he appears. Oh my goodness. See, that was a powerful word to me. You're preparing for that great day because he is your life. When he appears, he who is your life, then you also will appear with him in glory. It links you. The bread links you to him. On that day, he will not be our life. I'm sorry, on that day, he will be our life force that links us to him in glory as we have taken him in as our bread of life. When we take him in as our bread, we become his own. Do you understand? The scripture is saying that when he appears, he is your life. He's the life force, folks. That's why you're going to be caught up. Because he is the life force. When he appears, you and him connect because he is in you and you are in him. You are his own. I see there's something about God. See, God knows you. He knows you are his own. He knows you. Just like a mother knows her baby, she knows that child. You know, that parent knows that child. That child may not know mom and dad so well, especially when they're infants. They may not know mom and dad, but honey, that mama knows that baby. And daddy knows that baby. I mean, they know. They know how they smell. They know. I have heard mothers say, I know there could be a bunch of toddlers crying and screaming, but I know my child's cry. That's how God knows you. You may not know him very well, but he knows you. He knows that you are his own. But the question is, do you know that he is your own? Do you know that? Do you know that when he comes, you're going? You know, you know, do you know him that well? Like, no, we're talking every day. I know I'm going. I tell people I'm going on the first trip. I don't know about y'all. Y'all can hang out here if you want to. I'll leave my lessons, but honey, I'm going on the first trip. You know, I declare it. I declare it. Because he knows that I am his own, but I had to learn. It took me a while, folks. So if you're there, don't worry. Keep taking in the daily bread, because there is days that's going to come. You're going to say, I know that he is mine. He's mine. The old song says, he is mine. He is mine. He's joy in my soul and he's peace in my mind. He is mine. He is mine. Jesus, I know he is mine. Boy, we used to sing that growing up. You know, I can feel him now. That was the second verse. I can feel him now. He's joy in my soul and he's peace in my mind. I can feel him now. I can feel him now. Jesus, I know he is mine. You know, so after you accept him, folks, there's so much work to be done as far as coming inside the house and coming and sitting at his table and taking him in until you know that he is mine. See, as that child grows up, there's a point where that child knows who their mama is. That child knows. When that child is hurt, when that child is going through some things, who do they run to? Mama or daddy? Could be a bunch of people out there, but they will find mama. I'm telling you, they could be grown, and they gonna find mama, or they're gonna find daddy. Is it not true? Because now they know that you're my mom and you're my dad. They know that now. Before it was just one-sided. The parent knew their child, but now as the child grows, that's my mom. That's my dad. Do we know God like that? That's my Lord. That's my Savior. That's my, oh, he's my King. He's my Lord. Is that what's going on in your heart? And if not, keep dining at the table. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm telling you, it happens real insidiously. You don't even know it's happened. It's just like you wake up one day and after you realize you're thinking about him all the time. And every time you have a spare moment, your mind goes right to the Lord and the things of the Lord. And you're like, okay, what is this? Usually I'm thinking about, you know, my next conversation with somebody, or I'm thinking about the troubles of the day, but after a while, your mind goes to him. It's like being in love. In fact, it is being in love, not like. It is being in love. You know, when you're in love with somebody and every spare moment, your mind just goes to that person. Oh my goodness, you're just thinking about him all the time, all the time, all the time. We all have ladies in here, so I go with the hymn. Just thinking about him all the time. That's the way it'll be. And it's the most beautiful thing. It is the most precious thing, because that's when you know that he is mine. I am his, but oh, now I know that he is mine. And we all need that. The human heart needs that. That's why people feel so empty and so voided sometimes, because there's a part of them within them, their spirit, that can only be filled by Jesus. It can only be filled by him. And when that part of you is filled, oh my goodness, all the other stuff pales in comparison. You know, I mean, you still love everybody. In fact, you love them better. In fact, I think there's a way in which you even love them more. But you're loving them right now. You're not loving them, you know. Sometimes we obsess over people and we have people on a pedestal, and when they disappoint us, we get all frazzled. But you get okay. But so I'm like, you know what? He is mine. Jesus is mine. Jesus, I know, he's mine. So even though you disappointed, yes, you disappointed me, but he is still mine. He fills that void and he takes care of me and he loves on me. So we know about that love that binds people together, you know. And that interaction, and I know that God built families for a purpose. He built marriage on purpose so that we can see what this love is should be like. So we can understand how we're supposed to interact with God. That's why Jesus died, folks. So you could have personal relationship. Do you know what that means? Personal relationship. You know, he's not, he loves the corporate church and everything, but he wants to get to know you personally. Or he wants you to get to know him because he already knows you. But he wants you to get to know him so he can help you and bless you. He wants to nurture this relationship. The next point in your lesson says, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And that's from Psalm 42:8. Oh, wow. I just love the heart of David. Don't you just love his heart? See, this is a man that knew his God. He knew God and he knew God. It just that beautiful relationship. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. And in the night, his song will be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. So as you hold sacred Christ's name as the bread of life, he becomes the God of your life. And as God of your life, he will accomplish all of the aspects of your life's destiny. He will see to it that your life accomplishes its purpose. Because as we taught in previous lessons, life grows, life reproduces, life nurtures, life feeds others, and life protects. These are all the results of his bread. His bread is life. Do you understand? Once his bread gets in you, it starts to reproduce. It can't help but reproduce because he's the bread of life. So it's going to reproduce. It's going to nurture you. It's going to feed you and feed others. That's what life does. And it's going to protect you. Oh my God, how that bread will protect you. I thank God so many times that I did it God's way. Because had I not done it God's way, oh my God. And there were times when I didn't do it God's way and I fell on my face because I didn't do it his way. And I thank God that I learned from that and I learned to do it his way and I avoided stuff because it protected me and it kept me out of a heap of trouble because I took in his bread and I did it his way. The next part of your lesson, it says in Leviticus 10, the people were instructed on how to present their grain or bread offering to the Lord. The grain was to be fine and pure without yeast or anything that would corrupt or change the bread. This instruction denotes that the people had a role or responsibility concerning their own grain offering to keep it pure and sacred as it is presented to God. You know, and any of you that have ever made bread and you put the yeast in and you see what happens, you cover up, you make your bread, you put your yeast in and you cover it up, and then you come back an hour or so later and that thing is just bubbled up. I mean, it's just doubled in size. And the Lord was trying to show the people, the children of Israel, that's the way sin can be. When yeast, it's just like yeast. It gets in there, it starts out as a little bit, just a little tablespoon, a couple tablespoons of this stuff. And you got all this big piece of dough and you got just a couple of tablespoons of yeast. But my goodness, the way it grows and infiltrates that piece of dough and changes it. completely. That's what he's trying to say sin does to your life. And so that's why he had them take in the bread without the yeast, to show them what the holy bread was all about. The holy bread was unleavened, or bread without yeast that had no sin in it. And when you took that bread in, it was different than when you took in bread that had sin in it. Because a lot of people are offering bread out there, folks. A lot of tables are being set out there. And you've got to decide what table you're going to sit at, because you're going to sit at somebody's table. Because humans need to eat. And I mean, we need to eat in our spiritual way. We're going to be taking in something. Everybody's got their little philosophy of life on how they're going to live their life. And this is what I believe. And this is what I think. You know, and they're taking in all this different spiritual bread. But some of that bread, in fact, all the bread other than Christ's bread has some yeast in it. I'm telling you. And it will change you. It's true. It will change you. You've seen that. People that believe a certain life, a way of life, and that thing changes them. It makes them into something different, just like the yeast does, a ball of dough. But the unleavened bread, the holy bread, does something very wonderful in us and grows in us and produces something really good in us. So we have to understand that we have a responsibility as to what bread we're going to take in and how we present our grain offering to the Lord so that it is sacred. And that is us. You know, we've taken in his bread and we want to make sure that we keep that bread pure before God. So we present ourselves to him. That's our responsibility, that we make those choices so that our grain offering is presented to him pure. Similarly, your note says, as we have taken in Christ as our bread of life, we have the responsibility to hold this precious bread sacred and not contaminate ourselves, the vessels of his bread, with sin. As you know how to live pure before God, do so, keeping the precious bread of life within you, pure and thriving. And you see the reference to Galatians 5 and 9 and James 4. And 17, keep the vessel clean and sacred that holds the bread. You don't take a piece of bread and put it in a dirty bowl. You keep it, you put it in a clean bowl. You keep the bowl clean. Therefore, the bread is edible and it's ready to do what needs to be done with it. So again, that is our work, that is our job, that we work to keep the bread pure. The next part of the lesson says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. That's John 12, 24 through 25. And this is, boy, this is really key right here, folks. Several truths can be gleaned from this passage. The first has to do with the wheat falling to the earth. This can represent the humility we are called to have as we give our lives to Christ. We fall down before him, and then we must die to our old ways of living, and then new life springs forth from us and bears much fruit. Jesus follows up this analogy with the piercing statement concerning your life versus hating, loving your life versus hating your life in this world. So again, we just want to look at that, this falling that comes to us when we take in the bread of life. This loving versus hating begins by faith and not by feelings. But I'm telling you, after you accept Jesus Christ, you still may have an appetite for some things that you used to do. You still may want that relationship. You still may want to do certain things, you know. So it's something that you fall before him by faith and not by feeling. And that's got to be very important that you get that. That you're not going to feel like doing what the bread is telling you to do. But by faith, you do it. By faith, I've accepted you, Lord, and by faith, I'm not going to be led by my feelings. As I have said over and over, whatever inspires you will control you. If your feelings inspire you, if your emotions inspire you, then your emotions will control you. But if the Holy Spirit inspires you, and the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will control you, folks. And that's a truth. That's a truth that you have to understand. As a Christian, you are not led by your feelings and your emotions. You are led by the Holy Spirit. You know, that's why when Jesus says, turn the other cheek, that is against the very core of human instinct. If somebody smacks you, oh my goodness, turn the other cheek, that is against the very core of human instinct. The instinct is to smack them right back. But you've got to let the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit control you. What does the Holy Spirit says? The Holy Spirit in the Word of God, the bread says, that I turn the other cheek. Hardest thing in the world to do, but you do it out of faith. You do it out of obedience. You take this bread out of obedience and you believe him that he'll take care of the situation. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. So do you believe that or not? Because that's what the bread says. So again, this is what I mean when I'm talking about falling. Falling to yourself. Jesus was saying it right here. Whoever loves his life, whoever hates this life, oh my goodness. And you got to really think about, do you hate this life and love his life? Remember what he did. He had all power in his hand and he let us whip him. He let us torture him. He let us strip him and humiliate him. That's what he did. You know, so I got to wonder, sometimes I'm like, well, we're as Christians, we got to understand who our Lord is. Who are you serving? Are you serving that Jesus, that the same Jesus that was beaten and whipped and was humiliated and you can't even take an insult? Again, that falling. The falling. And it's a painful thing. It is. As a human, I'm a human too, and it's painful. Sometimes I gotta bite my lip. And I told you, I'm sure you, some of you guys heard that story about Joyce Meyer saying she had to run in the bathroom and stuff a towel in her mouth. Sometimes you gotta do that, folks. Like, Jesus, I'm gonna obey you. I wanna take this person and just slam them up against the wall, but I'm gonna obey you today, Jesus. And you cholerics in here, You people with the powerful temperament, you leaders. Oh, it's going to be especially hard for you, but I know it. The Holy Spirit can take care of you. See, some people just, they have that temperament. You know, the phlegmatic people are real peaceful. They're the peaceful, easygoing people, you know, and they just, nothing ever ruffles their feathers. You know people like that? I know people like, nothing ever just ruffles their feathers. And then you got those cholerics, man. You just brush them up too. You just brush against them too much, and they're ready to start a fight, you know, because that's their temperament. They're leaders, they're strong personalities. So again, there's a falling. There's a falling that's taking place when you take it in the bread. And you need to be cognizant of it, because you have to fall on purpose, because your human nature is not going to want to do it. It's not going to come natural. You're going to have to lean on the Holy Spirit on purpose so that you can fall. As Jesus said, it must fall to the earth and die if it is going to ever produce the fruit. So that's us, folks. We got to fall down before him. We have to die to our old ways of living, and then new life will spring forth from us and bear much fruit. So we have to hate our life and choose to do it his way. The next point says, many of us find it difficult to fall away from the things of this world that we hold as the foundation of our lives, but the falling must come before the death to your own life and your own way and this world and this world's way, so that we can stand up, so you can take up your new life in Christ. The falling is a process. Okay, so don't beat yourself up when you didn't fall. I kind of fell, Jesus. I thought about falling. That's progress. Okay, I thought about falling today. I didn't fall, but I thought about it, you know? And then I felt bad after I didn't fall. That's progress. So keep working on the falling process. As I said, it's got to be done on purpose. You've got to think about falling. Okay, it's not going to come naturally, but you got to think about it and ask the Holy Spirit to bring it to my remembrance, Lord, that I would fall before you today. You know, that humility part. You know, man, it would be okay, as I said before, that God, the Word of God said that you humble yourself before God. Many of us can humble ourselves before God. He's all great and all omniscient and all that. But humbling ourselves before men, oh my God. See, that's the hard part. The humans, you know, but that's what he calls us to do, is to humble ourselves before the humans. Goes on to say, but as you do this, new life will produce the eternal fruit in your life. However, if you love your temporal life too much to lay it down, then you will lose your eternal life with Christ. I mean that you're missing it. You're missing it. That's what I mean. That means you miss it. I mean, it's so sad to see a stagnant Christian. That's the saddest thing to see. I mean, year after year after year, that they're the same. Can't take anything. Can't endure anything. You know, was upset last week about this. Was upset next year. Last year you were upset about this. This year you're still upset about the same thing. No growth. Don't know how to forgive. Can't move on. You know, holding a grudge. Oh my God. How sad is that when the bread is here to move you into the eternal things, the relevant things, the significant things? You know, 100 years from now, what is going to be important, folks? That's what you got to think about with each situation. Is this you winning the argument going to be important 100 years from now? No, it's not. I'll tell you now, it's not. What will count is if you stood for Christ at that point. If you fell for Christ, that's what's going to count. And the Bible talks about it, the rewards and the things and the reviewing of your life. And, you know, don't think because you accepted him, there's no reviewing of your life. Because the Bible says, yes, he's going to judge the Christians. I'm like, really? Yes, he is. And he'll judge us. And, you know, did you take in my bread? Did you obey my bread? Did you even think about my bread? Or did you just let it sit on the table and didn't take it in because you couldn't fall to yourself? You thought your way was better. The next point, and the final point we'll do today, is this one. The heart of your salvation has to do with this falling to the ground and dying and then bearing much fruit. See, this is where the bread does its work in the falling process. You take in that bread, and my goodness, like that scripture, turn the other cheek, man, that's bread right there. You're in the falling process, and the bread is telling you what you should do. And that's where the bread really works and has its power. As you hear it, and you know what to do, and you know I'm supposed to forgive. I know I'm supposed to forgive people. Okay, something happened, and I need to forgive somebody. That's where the bread is coming up in your spirit and telling you, yes, you need to forgive it. You need to let it go. You know, will you do it? That's the falling. That's the falling process and the dying process. The apostle wrote of his own salvation, I die daily. I face death and die to self. And that's from 1 Corinthians 15:31. You must concede to do the same if you are to hold sacred his name, the bread of life. If you're going to hollow and hold sacred his name, the bread of life, it is about falling. It is about dying to yourself. The bread of life within you has purpose. Christ has a purpose for this bread in you. He wants it to flourish. He wants it, but it's up to you. It is not within you to lie dormant, but to live, grow, and reproduce. And as the song we were playing at the beginning of the class, take over. Take over. I love that song. Take over me, she says. Take over. Take over. Take over me. Don't believe this thing that it doesn't take all that. Let the Lord take over. Don't be afraid to be intimate with him and let him take over you. And you'll never be the same. I'll tell you. Any comments, questions for anybody? Come on, where's our preachers? Okay.
No, I kind of
had a question. You know, when we're supposed to just, you know, get to know our God, and it just so happens at my house, I'm staying with my son and daughter-in-law so they can care for me till I'm totally well. And it just so happens that I decide to get up. I have this hunger for the Lord, so I get up, mm-hmm. you know, early in the morning. Uh-huh. And then my son gets up and goes to work, and he sees me in the living room, and I'm reading my Bible at uh-huh. 4 in the morning. Well, then I tell him I'm going to go to bed early at night, and because I don't want to stay up with them and watch a movie. And I just want to go to sit up in my room. And, mm-hmm. and then he comes in and he sees me do that. And then he wants to talk to me privately in the garage. And he says, Mom, you can get too much of anything. And so he says, moderation in everything. He says, you don't have to, you got too many Bibles. You got too many commentaries. He said, every time I see you, you're reading your Bible. He said, what's the deal? And I just told him, I said, I'm sorry. I don't know how else to do it. I go to my room and I didn't know you was going to come through the door, you know, or I didn't know you was going to get up that early, you know, because
yes.
I set my alarm for like 3. I thought, okay, this is a watch hour. Nobody's going to be up.
And, yes.
you know, and just a hour later, he's roaming around the house. Anyway, I guess what I'm trying to say is, I try to sneak around and read my Bible and things like that, but my son and his wife feel that I'm getting too much of God, and that what's that saying that you hear, like, if you're too spirit,
so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good.
Yes, and he used that on me. Uh-huh. I was so mad. I said, what? You can get too much of everything else. Uh-huh. But I said, you can never get too much of the Lord. We're
yes.
supposed to love
right.
him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and
yes.
strength.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm confused.
And, you know,
like, what? What am I supposed to do? How else can I
yeah.
hide all
yeah.
this?
And Letha, you know what? You're fighting for your life right now.
Uh-huh.
You know, and your soul and your spirit needs to be fed. I mean,
yeah.
if you need to pull up, I mean, I can tell you medical research that shows that people who have a strong spirit, that are encouraged in their heart, do better with any type of illness than people that are in depression or in sadness. So this is a part of your treatment. In fact, this is a critical part of your treatment, if you want to share that with your son, because what you're doing is what you need to do. You're doing everything you can do medically, but this piece is very important.
Well,
you know,
I have no idea why I have more of a hunger right now.
I believe
seek my God, and maybe it's because of what I've gone through.
I believe the Holy Spirit is putting that on you, because the Holy Spirit, God loves you. And he knows everything you need. I mean, in the physical, man has done everything that man can do. But in the spiritual, the Holy Spirit will show you, okay, this is the other piece, or this is the most important piece. As we're talking about the eternal, you
right.
know.
That's right.
Whatever yeah. happens, you're preparing. Whatever happens, you're preparing. You know,
mm-hmm.
if I stay here, I'm preparing. If the Lord says he's calling me, I'm there and I know him. You know, so this is a critical part of your treatment, if I can say so. It is a critical part.
God's medicine.
It's
yeah,
absolutely.
God's medicine.
It's God's medicine, and maybe you can share that with your family.
Well,
I need God's medicine.
When I start doing something, because it's like when you were saying earlier
yes.
that your spirit just kind of comes
yes.
out with
yes.
stuff. And so sometimes what I read and what they say and talk about around in the garage, and some of their friends all come and everything, then it'll just kind of bubble out of me, you
yes.
know,
what
the Word of God says. And,
yes.
and my son will say, stop it, Mom. No more. I don't want to hear any more. Mm-hmm. You know, and he accepted the Lord when he was a child, you
yeah.
know, when I was going to church a lot then. And you know, but his wife doesn't. She gets really angry inside. And so I have to be careful when...
Some things you have to commit to prayer, you know, especially when people are rejecting.
Uh-huh.
Some things you just have to let the Lord do it, you know, and I've seen that happen. Sometimes I've been in situations where people didn't want to hear it, and I just felt to go into prayer, you know, just go into prayer in my own house, just go into prayer. Just pray for them, Lord.
As long as I don't pray
up.
Too loud,
and you'll, yeah,
because I already had to deal with
but
that.
But pray for them, like Lord, open their eyes so that they can see. Lord, I know they can't see. I know that you know sometimes the enemy has people blinded, and that's the way he wants to keep them blinded. But Lord, let them see what I see. Let them know what I know about you. And you'll be surprised at how God will go to bat for you. He'll go before you in this situation. You won't have to say a word. I believe the day will come when they will come to you. And they were saying, what was that you were saying? You know, I've seen that happen where people, the big complete turnaround because God did it. You know, that he did it. He sent his whole, and he started to minister. He can minister to people in their dreams. I have prayed, Lord, minister to them. You know, Lord, I don't feel to say anything else, but Lord, you minister. Mm-hmm. And God will minister to them in their dreams, in their day-to-day activities, and then they will turn it around. You know, God can turn things around.
Amen.
You know, but prayer, you know, you keep yourself healthy spiritually, and they just go into prayer. You know, you don't have to fight a battle, you know, verbally. Just go into prayer and keep yourself strong. That's what I encourage you to do. Just go into prayer and watch prayer. I've been amazed at just praying, how that changes things.